And we are back with our weekly show produced by the Black Awareness Association of Juneau. I'm Christina Michelle, and I am here today interviewing Ms. Nakisha Wilson, who is a librarian. She's joining us via Zoom all the way from Miami, Florida. And before we went to break, Nakisha was sharing with us about the importance of seeing ourselves and as African Americans in some of the books that feature children just being children and exploring and having fantasy and like magical powers and using their imagination. It's something that we don't see very often. And I said that I had a confession to make, and that confession is that I just saw Black Panther for the first time last night. So,
Oh, I'm gonna just give a clap. Yay!
it was such an amazing movie. I already knew that because I've heard so much about it, but at the time that it came out, it wasn't playing here in Juneau in the Juneau theaters. And by the time it did come here, I just was consumed with other things and work, and I just never got around to seeing it. And last night I actually made the time and it was amazing. And so I wholeheartedly agree with what you were saying about that, Nakisha, because it's one of those things that I didn't even realize that I wanted to see so much until I saw it. But it was just like water to my soul, like to a thirsty soul, like just seeing, us portrayed in such a positive light and as superheroes. What black superheroes do we have?
It's a good point. We don't have very many, and those that we do have don't often make it to the silver screen, you know? Because I think in the last talk we talked about Moon Girl. I brought up Moon Girl, who was the 10-year-old
In Brooklyn.
from Brooklyn.
Yes.
There has been no movie that has been made out of that, but I cannot think of any Black superheroes outside of her, the Black Panther. And then, you know, Spider-Man is a story where lots of different people end up with that power. So we've had a young Black man, Miles Morales, become Spider-Man. But other than that, I can't think of any. So it is something that is exhilarating in seeing us as these, you know, superheroes that have powers and can kind of shed us, give us a new light, a different light than what we're used to seeing, especially on the big screen.
Yeah, very empowering.
Really is.
Nakisha, can you summarize the story about the girl in Brooklyn again for those who weren't listening last week?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur is a Marvel comic like Black Panther and Spider-Man. It's a story or a series of stories about a 10-year-old super genius that lives in Brooklyn. This young Black girl one day is doing some type of experiment and she ends up opening a portal to the prehistoric era. And in the midst of all of this, a dinosaur enters into her lab,
I
tearing up
love
things.
that.
She closes the portal, but it's a friendly dinosaur. And the two of them go on a journey to just save the city of Brooklyn and the world, if you will, from danger that's kind of lurking in the shadows using her knowledge of science. And it's just such a wonderful depiction of a young Black girl who is not, you know, not just beautiful and smart, but she's a genius, you know, and she's someone who, you know, most adults could not even compete with her when it comes to her IQ level and all of the things that she knows. And I think it's just a wonderful image of young Black girls and the possibilities, you know, of who we are and who we can be. So if you get a chance, get, you know, buy the comic. It's really for older teens, even though the girl is 10, it's really for older teens and adults. Yeah, I think it's a story that many people will enjoy.
Thank you. I want to get it
Sure.
myself.
Should you
Nikisha, why do you think that it's important for us to write our own stories?
Now, you know, I spoke earlier about authenticity in stories and books. And, you know, some years ago, a well-known Nigerian author named Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, She's written several fictional works that are all based in Nigeria, some cross the sea and go over to the States. She has a book called Americana that goes back and forth between New Jersey and Nigeria. And she did a TED Talk once titled The Danger of the Single Story. And this is sort of a twofold concept. There's this really long history of marginalized groups not really being given the platform to publish material, right, that represents us. Mm-hmm. The majority of the world has not seen stories that we write ourselves. Much literature for centuries was written by white men. All literature was written by white men, no matter who it was for, whether it was for women, children, adults, white men were writing. So white men can only write from a singular perspective, right? They can only write from the perspective of white men.
Right.
So Chimamanda talks a lot about how when she was growing up in Nigeria and reading stories, they were very Eurocentric in theme and what she saw. All of the books were. And she saw books as kind of like this other, this foreign idea that books only include people that don't look like me. I'm not a part of books. Mm. And we talked about this the last time about how not seeing images of yourself in literature can negatively impact your like sense of self-worth as a young person. You know, self-identity does come from, it can come from books that are presented to you and even in important pieces of information, right? So if you're missing from books and important pieces of information, how do you interpret it as a young person? You might interpret it as your experiences not being important pieces of information.
That's right.
So that's like that's the first danger in the single story when you're not really seeing yourself and only one group is writing those stories. But then the other side of it is when those stories are being dominated, right? And the group outside of you is writing about you. Okay. So now you're in stories, but you're still not writing them. Mm. That's also problematic. Adichie tells a story in the TED Talk about how when she goes to the United States for the first time, she's a young adult. She had a roommate and her roommate made a comment that she didn't know she would be able to use a stove because she was from Africa. This speaks to how the danger of a single story, right? Because the perception of that young woman that made that comment had of Africa was jungles and animals. And the notion that the people from the continent of Africa were uncivilized people living in huts that had no access to modern technology, right?
Right.
So this is what happens when a single story of a people, of a culture is told over and over again. And what it does is it helps to perpetuate stereotypes that people carry around them as factual information. So that's why we have to, it's absolutely necessary that we tell our stories. And even when we're telling our own stories, we have to be diverse in telling our stories because we are a diverse people. You know, our culture is very diverse and complex. So if you ever get a chance, go on TED Talk and look up Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. I could always share that information with you if you wanted to get it later and put it on the site.
Yes.
For your organization. It's a wonderful talk about, you know, how it's important for us to write our own stories. So yeah, I hope that we continue to do that. We're doing much better in the publishing industry, but we still have a really long way to go.
Okay. Is there any topic that Black authors write about that's often dismissed, not valued, or promoted by the literary world?
Oh, yes, definitely. I don't know if you've ever heard of urban fiction.
Yes.
Urban fiction. Okay, so urban fiction is a category of books that, of course, it is drama. It's fiction because we have the word fiction in there. But it is likened to the same genres of like erotica and romance and mystery. They're kind of like their own, you know, separate categories, if you will. So urban fiction, for the listeners who don't know, it includes Black characters that are usually in raw, gritty, like in-your-face stories. They're set in urban environments, places like Chicago, Philadelphia, New York City, and so on. And they usually involve what some people might consider urban city issues, things that happen in urban cities. And the genre is hot. Let me tell you, people are reading these books. When I was a librarian, these were the books that grew legs and walked out of the library, okay? These are the books that were difficult to keep on the shelf. So when I say the genre is hot, people really want to read these stories. They're extremely popular. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the publishing industry has not really caught on to this. There are very few authors that are writing urban fiction that have gotten deals with large publishing houses. Most urban fiction books are written by people who are writing their books independently and selling them independently, kind of like how we used to sell, people used to have to sell CDs out of the trunk of their car.
Right.
They are having to take their books and they stick them on Amazon.
Right.
Or they make it in Kindle format, and that's the only way you can get it because it's cheaper to do that.
Okay.
But publishing houses have not picked up on this. They're not, and then they don't promote these books very well. But these stories deserve to be told. They deserve to be promoted, because people are clearly reading them. But for some reason, they're sort of put on the back burner as a genre that is not really worth putting any marketing and money into as far as promoting. And I wish that they would. It may be time for someone else, someone like us, to actually go ahead and create a publishing house that just focuses on urban fiction. There's a market for it.
Oh, I
There's
love
room
that.
Out there. Maybe one day someone will.
Yes. And as you're talking about this, what immediately comes to mind is the book Be More Careful. I don't know if you've read it. It's a blast from the past. It's by Shannon Holmes, and the setting is in Baltimore. And it's like, it's such a good book. And the other one was The Coldest Winter Ever. That
yes.
came to mind. That one. I've read that book so many times. I used to wish that there was a movie. I hated when the book was over. I never wanted it to end, even though I read it 3-4 times. It's like, you know, the coldest
winter. Have you ever read
ever.
Part 2, 3, and 4?
No. Is it Resurrecting Midnight? Was that by
Sister
Soulja?
Yeah, that is one of her books.
Okay.
And I know there's at least one other book by her. My sister absolutely loved The Coldest Winter Ever.
Yes.
And this year when her birthday came up, she said, I want a copy of the sequel, the second book. And I can't even remember the name of it. I think the one you're talking about is number 3.
Okay.
But because I can see the covers, the Midnight one has like a black cover.
Yes.
The second book has a red cover, and I can't think of the name.
Okay.
I'm
looking it up right now. A Deeper Love Inside. Is that it?
Okay.
It says
a woman on the front, red cover.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's the sequel. So close, whatever.
I'm all over
this.
That's
a very popular book and award-winning book. Sister Soulja got a lot of attention when she released that book.
Yeah.
I mean, that book was released probably 20 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it came out in 1999 or maybe 2000, somewhere around there.
Yes.
I could be wrong, but I know it's been about 20 years.
It has been. I don't know the exact year either, but it's right around there. And it's still, I mean, I could read it right now in 2020 and I'm going to get the same feeling that I had when I read it, you know, probably not, I didn't read it 20 years ago, but at least 15, you know, that
right.
it's just
and that's a testament.
Timeless. Yeah.
It's a testament to why we need urban fiction to be promoted more. There's a market for it. Those stories are interesting and compelling. And I think publishing houses should really do a better job about that.
So a few days ago, we lost the actor Chadwick Boseman. His impact as an actor was critical in telling the stories of important Black figures like Jackie Robinson, James Brown, and Thurgood Marshall. Most remember his fictional role of Black Panther. Can you talk a little bit about the impact of Black superhero stories on Black people, using Black Panther and others as a frame?
Yeah, we touched on this a bit earlier, right? About how it was just so amazing to see, you know, the Black Panther movie and see us in this light.
Yes.
I had read some insensitive comments that people had made about Black people taking Chadwick death too seriously, right? Because they're like, he was a fictional character in a movie. Why are you all, you know, going so hard, and why are you taking it so hard? But what people don't understand is that not only was Chadwick Boseman's death tragic and just really sad in itself and because of how everything happened, but the realization of his passing goes deeper than him playing a character. Mm-hmm. I mean, before Black Panther came along, there had never been a big box office movie about a Black superhero. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking about this. This was historical when the Black Panther came out. And if you've read any of the comics or if you've seen the movie, it's evident immediately that this is a story about Black people living in an existence that many of us dream about and that we want to see ourselves in, right? We are living self-sufficiently, collectively, as a people, understanding our true worth. They are acknowledging traditions in this movie, connecting with ancestors, leading the world in technology, all while sitting on a royal throne in our native land, never enslaved, unbothered, existing fully, right? Like, all of that is encompassed in this movie. Yes. And the positive images of the characters in Black Panther was so necessary for young people and adults, because I believe it contributes to our sense of pride and it helps us understand the real possibilities of what we can be. And I think a lot of what we saw is, it is who we are. You know, but a lot of people don't get an opportunity to see this. And I really hope that we see more Black superheroes on the silver screen, because it's a way that not only do we get to see ourselves, you know, in this way, but other people get to see us in that way, too. And it's so important that other groups get to see us in a movie like Black Panther. I can't wait for part two to come out. I have a feeling that they had been shooting that before Chadwick Boseman's death. It will be interesting to see how they kind of, you know, do the story once it comes out. But yeah, Black superhero stories are it, man. I love it. I'm here all day for them. Keep going with them.
Yes, I'm with you. What do you think that parents can do to connect their children with books that depict Black experience authentically?
Well, yeah, there are some really simple things we can do. Of course, I'm going to first say, take them to the library, you know, as a librarian, and ask the librarian, you know, be an advocate for your kids. And when you go in, don't be afraid to say, I want you to help me find Black books with Black people and Black characters written by Black people, illustrated by Black people.
Nice.
So that you can find those authentic stories. Librarians know those stories. They know them. I mean, if they've been there long enough, if they went to library school, they will know how to guide you and direct you. You can also just get to know some of the authors that are really popular. I mentioned a lot of them on our first interview. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of authors that just do a ton of work for the children's and teen literature world. Another thing you can do is find organizations that do a lot of this work. I don't know if you've heard of the young lady named Marley Diaz, but she came, her story came out a couple of years ago. She went viral because she created a campaign to find 1,000 books that included Black girls as the characters in the books as the main characters. Okay. So she went on this mission and people started donating books to her, and her story went viral. She was on news stations and in articles on the internet for a while. So she created this campaign to just keep promoting Black girls in books. Well, most recently I put the news on my Instagram and a lot of people have been sharing it. Netflix has created a new show called Bookmarks, celebrating Black voices, and she's the host. And it's a Netflix show. I don't know how many episodes they have, but it looks like they're going to have quite a few that highlights picture books. So they're for the young readers, like pre-K up to about third or fourth grade. Okay. And celebrities are reading stories out loud, Black celebrities. And they partnered with Marley, who I think is maybe 14 or 15 right now, to be the host of the show. So, you know, tapping into things like that is a way to connect young people to books that depict the Black experience. The other thing you can do is just do an internet search. Mm-hmm. You know, go on the internet. There are a ton of articles that have been written that are just lists of books written about the Black experience by Black authors, by Black illustrators. And there are a lot of people who are doing work to curate lists. So that's just those are just some real simple ways that you can go about connecting children to books that depict the Black experience authentically.
Okay, those are great ideas. I'm definitely going to check out the Bookmark series on Netflix. That sounds
Please
amazing.
Do.
Yeah. So we're going to take just a quick commercial break here. We'll be right back to continue this conversation. And when we come back, I'm just going to ask you to just share with us about any further book recommendations that you have for us. So we'll be right back in two.